Hey, I'm Christian.
And I'm Will. And this is The City Life. Alright, we're here with Abram Knothnagel, who is captain of LEGO Robotics and a member of First Robotics. And he runs his own science blog, which is impressive.
Hey, everyone.
Alright, so I guess why don't you start with robotics?
Alright, I'll start with LEGO Robotics since I'm the captain of that team. This started my freshman year with Mr. Audia, great teacher. He went to West High. But anyway, it was pretty interesting. What we do is we work with Legos. You know, if anybody remembers Lego Mindstorms, maybe from when they were a kid, if they had those. Work with those, then go to Iowa State University and compete with them in a sumo bot competition. So these robots try to push each other outside of a ring. There are a few rules, but they're not too constrictive. So it really is open for a lot of creativity, things like that. First 2 years, we had maybe 4 or 5 members, but then last year, we sort of exploded. We went up to, like, 18 members.
Wow.
We started working with IDT, Integrated DNA Technologies, through their Hyperstream program. They got with us and applied for the Prometheus Awards. It's a technology, the Iowa Technology Association award thing. We won that, actually.
Oh.
It was pretty interesting. We didn't write an application for the award, which makes me sort of feel kind of bad, because we beat out a lot of people who had written up their applications, but we never did. It was actually really interesting. Went up in front of 500 or more businessmen and women and gave a little speech. We won an Xbox 360 that is currently owned by the school.
Nice.
So, you know, it's pretty fun. We have a lot of freshmen and sophomore members, not so many juniors or seniors. I don't know. Altogether, it's pretty fun.
So when did your... did you start off with LEGO Robotics before joining First Robotics?
Yes, I joined First Robotics my freshman year as well, but LEGO Robotics came before First Robotics.
Because
First Robotics, the season starts at a specific date, but with LEGO Robotics, you can just build whenever.
Okay. So, as captain of the First Robotics game, what are your responsibilities? I know West High and City High share the 167 and 167.
I'm a captain of the electrical team for First Robotics. Drone Sikor is the captain of the team itself.
He's the dictator.
Yeah. Well, him and Ossie Virgil from West High, because it's a joint team, as you said.
Yeah.
As electrical captain, it's my job to wire up the entire robot. That's not in and of itself too difficult. There are a lot of things you need to get done, and you need to do them perfectly or else everything explodes. I'm not kidding either. So it's kind of nerve-wracking, but if you just take your time with it, it works really well. And also feel really important, because a lot of people can't do my job. But what's even more interesting is I'm also the pilot of the robot. So when we go to competitions, I'm the one who's on the field driving the robot against other robots. And it may not sound like that big of a deal, but it's actually really...
There's a lot of strategy to it.
Yeah, it's really tense. You're in front of a lot of people. I mean, maybe it's just me. I don't do too well in front of a big crowd. So I actually became first driver during the nationals competition. So I was in front of thousands of people for the first time. I was actually driving the robot proper. I think I did pretty well, you know, to be modest. But I don't know, it's pretty exciting. It makes you sweat a lot.
Now, what's the learning curve like for piloting a robot? Like, is it something you can just kind of pick up from, like, RC cars, or is it very specific?
It is sort of like driving an RC car. It's a little bit more complicated, so it depends on what we're doing that year. Each competition is a little bit different, requires a lot more strategy. Basically what it is you need a lot of practice with the robot, and you sort of need to be able to feel the machine. Sounds sort of weird, but if you can become one with the robot, that helps a lot.
Nice.
You know, it sounds cheesy, awesome. But it's true. I found that was easy for me, because me and machinery have an understanding.
You guys have an affinity with each other.
Yeah.
One with the machine.
Indeed. That's what I say.
All right, and what would you say are, like, differences between First and Robotics and LEGO Robotics besides, like, the whole City and West thing?
Definitely competition size would be the first one that comes to mind, because with LEGO Robotics, you have maybe 20 people watching you, because there are a lot of different competitions going on at once, and the competition itself, in and of itself, is only like 100 or 200 people total. Whereas each First Robotics competition, you have maybe 1,000 people watching you, and each of them are maybe 2,000 people. And then when you get to nationals, it's a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So for First Robotics, it's definitely a lot bigger than LEGO Robotics. Plus, there's a difference between Lego robotics. The robot is autonomous. It has to do everything by itself. It has to figure out where the other robot is. It has to use strategy. You can't actually interact with it. And first robotics, you drive it. Like, the humans are able to control the robot.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big difference. And then size of the robot. Because in Lego robotics, we have these small 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot robots that are made of Legos. And in first robotics, we have maybe 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot robots that are made of aluminum, electricity, like 12
magnets.
Pound. Yeah, magnets, 12 pound lead batteries, really powerful motors, crazy stuff.
Nice.
If I remember correctly, the really cool thing about first is that when we went to Nationals freshman year for me, it's like a huge convention. There's a ton of people there, and like all these big companies like Rockwell, and I know like the military, every facet of the military was there in some shape and form, and it was like a convention. It's great for if you like scoping out colleges and different, you know, science programs. And that's, I guess that's maybe one of the things that separates it from first, or the Legos, because, I mean,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
First Robotics is definitely a lot bigger nationally. Lego Robotics this year, we've actually started doing the VEX competition, which is supposed to be the largest robotics competition in the entire nation, even bigger than first, but I think that's the national level. I don't know if we're going to get there this year or not, and that's a new thing. But about the big convention style for first robotics, that's actually really true, and it's, you'd imagine that it'd be really sort of impersonal, like people wouldn't understand.
It's really fun, though.
Yeah, people wouldn't talk to you, but everyone's really nice, and they're really fun and fun to hang around with. Even your opponents are good. Nobody's really angry or mean to you.
Yeah. And then we got a performance from Will Smith's daughter.
Really?
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
The I Will Whip My Hair Girl, whatever.
I Whip My Hair Back and Forth. Yeah, her.
Yeah.
At the convention.
It's pretty interesting. That place is has a lot going on.
Yeah, it did.
All right, now, Abram, why don't you tell us a little about your science blog?
All right, so I think it was the summer of my sophomore year. I decided that I was, you know, I was in school learning and doing what students do, but I decided I wanted to do more. I wanted to do something actually interesting, something creative. So I said, well, what can I do? What talents do I have? I realized I'm into science, so why don't I start writing about science? So I created my own blog. I call it the Science Man's Blog. You can go look it up. It's actually kind of cool. Didn't start out very fast. I wrote a lot in the beginning, but, you know, as a new blog, not very many people knew about me. Didn't get many site views.
Sure.
But now I've been writing on it steadily since then. It's been a few years now. And I think I've been doing fairly decent. I've gone from like 1 or 2 page views a day to over 100.
Wow.
It's not that many when you look at really big sites, but if you watch the trends, it's going up. Actually getting pretty far there.
Nice.
It's becoming more popular. So I'm just going to keep it up, keep going, see what happens. I think it's pretty fun. I started doing a picture of the day, so a lot of it's about astronomy because I'm in astronomy class now. Astronomy is actually really cool and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But I just try to give as much scientific knowledge to everyone else as I can, and it's really useful for me in the process because I learn while I'm writing, because I have to research the topics I'm going to write about, obviously. So I learn stuff, and then I write about them. So I'm doing like 2 important things at once. I think it's really fun, and hopefully it'll go somewhere.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
That's cool. We, I remember when you came out with that plug, and it was really neat. So.
Yeah. I've started writing for the review here at City Hive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some of my blog posts are put in there.
Nice.
Most of it's online.
Mm-hmm.
But in the new publication we had today, one of my writings is in there. It's actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like it. Good. Maybe not the best, but it's all right.
So, you know, recently I guess there's been a lot of news about NASA and privatized space travel. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Actually, a lot of thoughts. I was actually pretty disappointed when NASA cut their space program.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like going to space is sort of the biggest thing that humans can do. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of problems here on Earth, but how are we really going to get past these problems if we don't have the technology to overcome them, and if we don't dream of going to the stars one day? I don't know. It's one of my things. I like space a lot. But, you know, we've got another rover on Mars. That's pretty cool. You know, it's like the size of a sedan or something. Pretty awesome. We're doing a lot of cool stuff. We've realized there is water on Mars. That's sort of really interesting. You know, yeah. There could be life there. Who knows? But we're still working in space, and the government's giving a lot of money to these private space companies to do things. I don't really know how that's going to turn out. Like, I'm hopeful, of course, but honestly, where's the market in space? Right now, we don't have the technology to mine in space, so we can't really get money from that. It would cost a lot to get people up there to tour space, so I don't really see tourist companies working very well. And I don't know really what else there is to do in space, besides exploring, at this point at our technological level. So private companies, I don't really think are going to work out. I think the government needs to be going to space. I think it's a necessity if we ever want to survive as a species, even.
One thing is that I do think that having privatized space, not companies, but space exploration will create incentive and competitiveness, which I think could help.
Yeah, that might be true, but so far we haven't seen many examples of this. Like, we have a lot of space companies that are working on technology and trying to get up to space, but they don't have anything marketable yet. They don't really have a strong business model that can survive independent of the government. Right now, all they're doing is, like, surviving off of government funding and selling their things to the government.
Yes, to get to the ISS.
Yeah.
I pulled up I remember a couple weeks ago I read a cool comic on XKCD about space travel, and it went as follows. The universe is probably littered with one-planet grays of cultures which made the sensible economic decision that there's no good reason to go into space, each discovered, studied, and remembered by the ones who made the irrational decision.
I think this is a perfect example of what space travel is right now.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the technology for space travel to be a good economic decision, mm-hmm. but that's not the point. The point is we're going to get that technology eventually.
Yeah.
If we don't keep exploring space, we'll never have the incentive to create the technology to make it economically viable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now, it's going to cost a lot of money, but that money is going to go into technology businesses, into people, and it's going to, you know, better our economy. I think mm-hmm. there's a statistic that every penny put into NASA is a dollar we get back. So it's pretty good to do this science and, you know, learn these things, because
yeah.
it eventually will help us economically, and it will keep our species alive.
Yeah. It's an investment that I think is pretty risky, but it's an inevitable one that we will have to take.
Yeah,
and the consequences we're just going to have to make positive.
Yeah, this planet won't last forever, so I question the political decisions to cut things like space travel.
Yeah. Which kind of brings us to our next topic, a cool little segue to the elections right now, and the amount of decisions that have to be made. Do you have any thoughts on those, Abram?
Yeah, I saw the vice presidential debate and the second presidential debate. I thought they were actually really interesting. Like, previously, I'd never watched debates because, you know, debates that can't be exciting, but actually they are. I don't know, this election year is really interesting because, you know, normally I find myself siding really strongly with one side or the other and not listening to the opposition's arguments, but I find myself listening more to what everyone has to say mm-hmm. this year, and I'm just not sure what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what it's going to come down to. Either way, each candidate has their own beliefs. Not very many of them overlap, though, which I think might be kind of a problem, because such radical changes often destabilize our economy,
mm-hmm.
and I think we're on the mend right now. I think we should try to keep mending and not, like, do something radically different, because if you do something radically different and it goes wrong, then that hurts us a lot.
Yeah. It's like, why fix what's not broken?
Yeah, I mean, our economy is healing right now. Maybe it's not as fast as some people would like, but I'm just a little bit nervous about doing something radical.
Yeah. So are you, at the moment, are you siding with the economic policies and growth plans that are currently in place?
Yeah, I'd say right now our economic policies are pretty good. I think I would vote to keep it the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see the Republican side to this whole argument, because one day I would like to start my own company, and a lot of what Mitt Romney says about companies
mm-hmm.
would help them a lot. But also, you have to think about the average person, and helping companies actually hurts most people,
yeah.
which I think is a problem even as a future business owner. So
yeah,
I think we need to help the middle class, the, you know, average Joe on the streets, more than we need to help these companies
yeah.
if we really want to make our economy strong.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think what I'm reminded of is that the economy works in cycles. There's the up, you know, the good times, and then it'll go down, and then it'll go back up. You know, inflation causes that, and that's something we just have to remember. Everything's cyclical. It's the business cycle. Personally, I'm for me, the economic policies that Obama is supporting right now have worked before a la Clinton administration, and I don't, you know, it's just go with it.
Yeah, one of the things I think that people forget is that our society has been progressively getting better and better over time. You know, a lot of people are complaining about the economic situation and how things are so bad. But honestly, if we look at history, it may seem bad from our reference point, but things have been going up. I think we need to focus on the long term, because short term political strategies almost never work out. So we need to focus on the future. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what I'm all about.
Very cool. So that wraps it up for us today, folks. Thanks for joining us. I'm here with Will Lubaroff and Abram Nathaniel.
All right. And any final words, Abram?
Go Science! Woo!
Yeah.
All right, I'll see you guys next week.